Hey, this is Matt Hasey from Tribune, and you're listening to Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the show. This is episode 217 of the Talk To Me podcast. This week on the show, we have Betraying the Martyr vocalist Aaron Matz. We go into so much stuff. We go into their new album, Rapture, that will be out September 13th on Sumerian Records. We go into they're now working with Chris Adler as their manager. How cool is that? We go into the van fire, which you guys, I'm sure, have seen all over Blabbermouth and all over the internet, talking about, you know, how their van caught on fire while on tour in the States. All in all, man, great chat with our good friend, our new friend of the show, Aaron Matz of Betraying the Martyrs. So now let's hear a word from Scott Bowling.
My name is Scott Bowling. I have a show called Good Company. Good Company is a show where we film artists in the rock genre, and we talk about their first record all the way to where they are now. We've interviewed bands like Korn and Seven Dust and Rich Ward. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook under Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. So please, if you get a chance, check it out.
Good Company!
All right, make sure you guys are checking out Good Company with Bowling. Looks like he posted last night that Head from Korn, Morgan Rose of Seven Dust, and Rich Ward were all over at his house doing another episode of Good Company with Bowling. What a life Scott Bowling lives. We could only be so lucky. But yeah, Betraying the Martyrs have so much stuff going on this year. Like I said, they did have the tragic van fire. Not tragic, nothing. No one died, but a lot of equipment died in the van fire. So make sure you're checking out their GoFundMe. I will put links in the show notes so you guys can help them reach their goal and help get them back on the road. You know, they're going to do some shows. They have another European tour coming up in September. Like I said in the interview, or like we said in the interview, when tragedy happens in the metal world, we all do come together. So help out friends of the show, Betraying the Martyrs. Check it out in the show notes. Hit the link and let them know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. Before we get into the interview, let's talk a little bit about the state of the podcast. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying the little snippets from the live show I've been putting out. The episodes, the interviews, the actual episodes will still continue to come out on Thursdays. A little bit longer form interviews. The interviews on the live show are going to be a little bit quicker, like the Billy Gray of Fozzy interview. That's a quick 10 minute snippet. Have a lot more of our podcasting friends on the live show, so those are always fun to sit and talk about, you know, the news of the world. But I still want to keep the actual podcast somewhat sacred, have it a little bit long form interviews and all that fun stuff. So thank you guys for checking out the live show Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, uncontrolledNoise.com. And without any more of my ramblings, we will start out with Betraying the Martyrs, Let It Go. Yes, the Frozen cover, so it will now be stuck in your heads all day long, like it will be mine. And then we will talk with Aaron Matz, check out some more Betraying the Martyrs, their new single, Parasite. And then I will talk to you momentarily.
Legend. What it looks like when they came. Rise through the air into the ground. My soul is spiraling. Rifles and fractals are
in the world.
I'm in Paris, France.
Nice. Much nicer than where I am, so that's always good.
Where are you?
Right outside Louisville, Kentucky. I don't know if you guys have been through here or not.
Yeah, we have.
Nice. Well, very good, man. Well, I was, what took me so long is I was actually sucked into your cover of Let It Go, and now I will have that song stuck in my head for the rest of the day, so I appreciate that.
Jesus, yeah, it really does get stuck in your head, man.
As soon as that movie came out, man, I have little kids, and they watched the hell out of that movie, and that song, you know, that's the sign of a good pop song, though, when it just will not leave your head. How did that come together for you guys to cover Let It Go?
Are we on record right now?
Yeah, we started.
All right, yeah. I think the original idea came from somebody who used to work at Sumerian Records. They just kind of came up with the idea, and we just kind of brushed it off. We were like, nah, we don't want to do that. But then Victor, our keyboard player, he just kind of like silently started to work on the song on his side.
Yeah.
And then he sent it over, and then we were like, fuck it, you know, may as well just, you know, add some guitars. And it just kind of came together when we ended up doing it. And then next thing we knew, we was shooting a video for it, and it was on the album. So, yeah, pretty strange journey.
It's always cool, like those Pop Goes Punk compilations, and you know, like we were saying about a good song will translate over to any style, and you know, you get guys doing like Miley Cyrus covers, and even though they're metaled up and metal chord up, they still have that the core of the of the pop song, so it's like it's still poppy no matter how heavy you make it. And I've always been fascinated by those compilations and, you know, covers like the Let It Go cover.
Yeah. No, you're right. If a song's good, you know, as long as you respect the, you know, the core kind of melodies and everything, it's going to sound good whatever you do with it.
Especially, you know, if I like the metal, then, you know, you bring the pop over into the metal and it's all good, man. So far, the couple of songs off of Rapture we've heard, you know, that will be released September 13th on Sumerian, are fantastic, mm-hmm. man. I'm so into what you guys are doing, and then you know the heavy and the singing and stuff. The one thing I noticed on the Wikipedia, it says, you know, you started doing clean vocals on this latest album. Is that something you've been trying to do, wanting to do, or just kind of branching out doing some cleaner singing?
No, I actually have never really wanted to do it. You know, it's not, it's just something that when we were working on the demos for this album, you know, we set up our own studio on a farm in the middle of France. And we all kind of had separate stations, and I had my own vocal booth, and it, for the first time I was recording my own vocals just for the pre-production tracks. And it was like the first time I'd recorded vocals without, you know, having the pressure of a producer or, you know, somebody behind the desk on the other side of the window, you know, recording me. And I just, you know, had this idea, and because it was just me in the room, I thought, you know, why not? I'll just try it. You know, there's no one here to laugh at me if I mess it
right,
up.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just like some, some parts of music, they just need a certain vocal style, you know, and I wasn't going to, I could hear it. I could hear that it would be good with some clean singing. And Victor, the clean singer, he was busy doing something else. So I thought, why not? I'll just try it out. And yeah, I don't know, it just sounded good. And so now, given the good reaction that it's received, I think that I might be pressured into doing some more.
Was that truly a fear of yours to put it out, even like Betraying the Martyr fans, you know, would hear you clean sing and be like turned off by it? Because clean singing in the hardcore metal world sometimes is a huge turnoff. Like, oh my God, they sold out. Did you fear that side of it?
Not particularly. No, I didn't actually know. Not at all. Our music has always had, sorry, I just woke up myself. our music has always had, clean vocals in it, you know, right. True. From the beginning. And if it comes from me or it comes from Victor, I don't really think it makes that much of a difference. And but people also respect vocalists for having a wide range of vocal styles, you know. And it's not like fairy clean singing that I did. I just wanted to keep it kind of heavy, you know what I mean? But people, no one's talked any BS about it. So more, maybe on Lamb Goat, I don't know. Maybe on Lamb Goat, but that's where people go to talk BS.
Yeah, I mean, what it is kind of funny. I was reading some of the comments on the YouTube, and looks like everybody is just completely into Parasite. Cannot wait for the new album. It's so funny. Sometimes you click on the comments, you know, I'll read them just to kind of get a gauge of how the fans are feeling. And for the most part, man, it looked like everybody is just completely excited about the new album. I don't think I saw one single negative comment, which is insane for the internet.
Oh, there is a few. Trust me, I've seen some. you'll have like hundreds of kids saying, oh, this is great. And then one guy saying, this is absolute trash. You know what I mean?
How are you with that? Are you do you focus in on that one comment, or can you take in all of the comments?
Yeah, I take them all in. Maybe when I was a little bit younger, you know, with their old stuff, I would kind of focus on the negative comments, you know, really take it to heart. But I just don't care anymore. Listen, if people are listening to the music, you know, that's all that matters.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah, I've always said that, you know, you'll get 100 good comments, and then that, you know, I think we all have our own self-doubt. And so when someone actually says it in a comment, you're like, see, I knew it. I'm a fraud. I'm 100% wrong. That guy gets me. You know, everybody else is wrong. You know, you know, one negative comment can take you down a negative path, I guess.
It can do for sure. But at the end of the day, I think it takes a certain type of person, like, to not like something and then to write comments about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like people who leave bad reviews on restaurant websites and stuff. I mean, if you didn't like it, just don't go there again. You know, it takes a certain special kind of negative person to you know, to try and continue to put that person or that thing down. And yeah, I guess there's always going to be people like that in the world. Everything can't be positive all the time.
I honestly don't know what it would take for a restaurant to give me such bad service that I would ever leave them a bad Yelp review or a bad Google review or even post on Facebook or Twitter about my bad experience. I don't know what the level of bad service. I mean, they would literally have to, like, you know, serve me a plate of shit, like actual human shit, you know, because it's just, you know, I might leave the restaurant. I might tell a friend or two about a bad customer service, but I'm not going to, you know, those like long, you know, 14 paragraph, I was having a bad day, my kids and blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. Like, it's just so self-serving. I've never understood the mindset behind, you know, a terrible, terrible Yelp review.
Yeah. It's crazy. But listen, you know, some people don't have that much to focus on in their life. So I guess they channel it into negative stuff.
I agree 100%. So, well, 2019 has been some ups and downs for you guys. We'll kind of start with some positives, and then we'll get into a little bit of the bad stuff. But it looks like you guys are working with Chris Adler now, formerly of Lamb of God, which is a hard, crazy thing to say. But how did that come about? And, you know, what's it like working with Chris?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, about his departure from Lamb of God, you know, that's I guess, a decision that him and their guys kind of had to take. But how it came about, yeah, like, I think one of us, I think Baptiste actually reached out to him because we were self-managed for like 2 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of, oh, let's see how it goes down. Maybe we can try and do it ourselves. And we just saw that Chris Adler had launched his own management company. And yeah, I think we just reached out to him, just like, listen, you know, like, we like what you're doing, you know, like, it would be great if we could work together. And he just came back with us like, yeah, I've been listening to your music. It's great. Let's do it. It was really as simple as that. And but he's fantastic. He's really good. He's so motivated. You know, you don't have to ask him anything twice. He's really on the ball. He's by far the best manager we've ever had.
You know, the thing with him being like self-motivated, hard worker, I mean, you know, he actually tried to be in Lamb of God and Megadeth at the same time, you know, thinking that would work. So
yeah.
So you don't have to tell me about his work ethic.
Exactly. You want to know something tragic?
Yes.
The drum set, we haven't spoke about it yet, but as you may know, we just we lost pretty much everything we have in a fire on the road.
Yes.
Yes. Well, the drum kit that we were using was actually Chris Adler's drum kit that was used to record on Megadeth's album.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
How was that phone call to Chris?
Yeah, listen, Chris, you know that really awesome drum kit that you gave us to do the tour? Yeah, well, it's gone now. Yeah, it wasn't... I didn't do it. I was like, no, shotgun, not me.
Wow. That's got to be the worst. You know, it's like you take something like that on the road and you're probably super protective of it all as much as you can be. And then and then something like that happens with the van fire. I did actually have the van fire on the list. Obviously, that's some heartbreaking stuff. I mean, the photos alone, you know, just being from my days in traveling and touring and things like that, I couldn't even imagine, you know, a van fire. Kind of, you know, you feel invincible on the road, and then all of a sudden, something like that happened. So, I mean, did anyone ever figure out the cause of the fire?
Yeah, I mean, it's not 100%, you know, but just going off what the fire department said, with the rental, we were supplied a generator, you know, like a gas generator that was used to power the van. The van was like an RV kind of deal. It had to be plugged into electricity, into power whenever it was not moving.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this generator in the trailer along with some jerry cans and I guess, yeah, and that's where the fire kind of started from. I don't know if it was too hot or if there's some kind of short circuit situation, but yeah, that's where the fire originated from.
And this happened overnight, so you guys were all crashed out except for your driver. Is that what I'm reading right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were driving from Los Angeles to Orangeville, and yeah, it was about 2.5 hours into the drive that the driver noticed there was smoke coming out of the trailer and kind of pulled into a gas station. And yeah, he opened up the trailer and then flames started coming out because obviously it opened the door, you know. So he got us all out of the van. He was, you know, standing outside in our underwear, just like, holy shit. You know, we couldn't even believe it was happening. We'd just woken up. It was like 4 a.m. when it happened. And yeah, no, it was insane.
You did give your driver some high praise because I guess he did not only get you guys up, but from what I can tell, really risk a lot of stuff trying to get as much of the equipment out of the trailer too, correct?
Yes. Daniel Johnson, he's actually a close friend of Chris Adler. He was brilliant. Not only was he by far the best driver we've ever had on the road, yeah, he risked his life. He ran in there. He managed to get one of the jerry cans full of fuel out of the way. He got like a suitcase, an empty suitcase, and something else. He basically just ran into the flames, you know, trying to pull some stuff out. Unfortunately, none of the equipment was pulled out, you know, would have been saved. There was a few bits that were at the opposite side of the trailer, which, you know, kind of the, just in case he's got burnt, we were able to salvage a couple of bits. But not only that, he ran like into the fire to unhook the van from the trailer while it was burning. And so we was able to move the van and get it out of the way of the flames.
It's heavy stuff. The, yeah, like I said earlier, the photos that are online are just so sad. You know, I mean, you're out on tour, you're halfway through headlining, you know, the States, and something like this happens and just derails everything. Was there thought of trying to grab some rental gear and finish out the tour, or was it pretty much, yeah, this is done and we're going home?
Oh, no, there was definitely thought of that. We went to the closest motel, and we didn't sleep for, you know, it was like basically 3 days, you know. We were just kind of, you know, sorting everything out. But we had to salvage the gear. We had no cases left, and we were cleaning up everything, trying to see what would work and what wouldn't work. And, yeah, we called around, and we tried to get some rental stuff. But the thing is, some of the stuff that was in there, a very small portion of it, was actually given to us by our endorsements, you know.
Right.
And that went up in flames too. And so in order for us to get, you know, another rental, plus we had to rent a new van because there's, you know, I guess the rental company were just kind of over it. You know, they were at a loss, so they didn't want to keep us in the van either. So it would have meant getting a whole new van, getting a whole new trailer, renting a whole new gear. And obviously, as the time went by, the shows were getting further and further away from where we were, you know. So realistically, doing all of that and being able to get to the next show, if that would have been in 5 days, it would have been meant driving, you know, 5 days down the road. It just wasn't feasible. And also, it being our first headlining tour, we wanted to give the fans our headlining show. You know, we didn't want to turn up playing rental gear and just giving a very bad performance. It was a hard decision to make, but yeah, unfortunately, we had to call it a day.
And I'm assuming, you know, with the keyboards and things like that, I mean, that's just, there's so many sounds in those things that you've got to recreate now. And you know, how much of the gear was actually able to be saved? And then how much have you guys had to kind of start over from scratch?
Oh. So basically, we had six guitars, two of which were saved. There was a mixing desk in there that we used to, with our kind of, you know, show on there. That can be replaced, but yeah, that was completely gone. All of our in-ear monitors, the Axifix, our guitar amps, they're all gone. Our splitter was gone. All of the merch was gone. Well, all of the backstock merch, we managed to save some of what we had in the bins, you know, for direct sale. Both of the keyboards were gone. Some computers gone. All of personal belongings gone. The whole drum kit was gone, but basically everything, pretty much everything. Some was able to be salvaged, but honestly, I can't really tell you right now because the whole thing was kind of a blur, you know.
The one thing that I did notice, and the nice thing about the metal community as a whole, is, you know, your GoFundMe goes up. You had a pretty hefty goal of around 27,000. Looks like right now you're almost at 24,000. In searching a few things, you know, I saw that like Matt Hafey of Trivium, you know, reshared it, things like that. So, I mean, as a whole, the positive out of this whole thing is, I mean, you do see that you guys do affect lives and, you know, this entire community of metalheads, even if they're probably not huge fans of you, you know, still see the tragedy in it and still want to help out. and get the word out. And, you know, in these situations, in these times, I think we all do kind of pull together and try to help out our own.
Yeah, for sure. I was, you know, although the goal that we set on the GoFundMe, I don't think it covers all the expenses, you know, that come with an accident like that. But we wanted to keep it modest. I was super, super taken back by how positive the reaction was. You know, like I wasn't expecting that at all, because, you know, after an incident like that, your thoughts are so negative. You just think, oh, this is the end of the world. And yeah, the amount of people that have even shared, the people that have donated, it's crazy. You know, people are good. People are really good. And it's times like this that you remember that.
How close are you guys to, looks like the next tour you guys have is in August. September. So, I mean, you've got a month and a half to kind of regroup and get everything back and back to normal and back to, you know, getting the proper headlining set together, the proper headlining show together. How close are you guys to actually getting, you know, the gear back together?
I can't really tell you. We have a show next week. Oh. We have a festival appearance in Romania. Luckily, the festival has been able to rent gear over there for us. So yeah, we will be playing shows as of next week. But yeah, basically the headlining tour is going to go ahead. Whether money has to come out of our own pockets, you know, we're not going to miss it. So it's going to happen for sure.
And do you think you'll have any kind of PTSD, as lack of a better term? But, you know, are you worried about traveling in a van again, or has that thought crossed your mind yet?
Not really. I mean, we've never toured with a generator in a trailer before. You know, that for us, it was a bit strange. You know, like when, because we had a different van. From the same company, and the AC broke, and we actually got that van replaced with the new van, which came with this generator situation, which was a bit strange. We've never had that before, so we were like, we didn't really question it, because they explained, you know, it's because of this and whatever. So, I mean, as long as there's no generator in the trailer, I'm gonna be feeling okay about it. You know, we didn't have a crash. If there'd been an actual collision, then yes, I would definitely feel, you know, I would definitely think twice about getting back into a van for touring. But no collision, so I'm okay. I'm ready to put it behind me, and I know everyone else is too.
But I mean, you guys did, you know, you did Japan this year. You did your half of your headlining set in the States. You've got the European headlining tour coming up. So, I mean, you've got a lot of great stuff going on. So, I mean, even though the fire took a lot from you, you guys still have a lot to be proud of. The record sounds amazing. You know, what else do you guys have coming up, and what's the rest of 2019 look like for you guys?
Well, yeah, so we have some festival appearances, and we have, that headlining tour, and then we've got some other European single appearances, and we have a French tour coming up. I'm not sure that it's announced yet, so I don't really want to go ahead and say, but yeah, they're going to be very big shows back in France, which I'm really looking forward to. We haven't been able to give France much attention, seeing as we've been touring everywhere else. And then, of course, yeah, releasing the album. And then just looking forward to next year, man. I mean, yeah, this year's been really, really busy for us. And, not going to lie, pretty excited about finishing it off with some European shows, you know, being a little bit closer to home.
Well, very good, man. Well, Aaron, man, thanks for taking the time today. Like I said, Betraying the Martyrs, Rapture, out September 13th on Sumerian. I will wrap this up with Parasite, so if you don't mind giving maybe a little bit of story behind the song, and then
All right. So this song Parasite, I believe it was within the first couple of songs that were written for the album. Super simple riff. It was just something that we kind of we kind of wrote, maybe not for a joke, but, you know, we thought we'd just test it out, just a couple of notes, and we couldn't get it out of our heads. And then, lyrically, it's been something that I wanted to write about for quite some time. The lyrics speak about having, you know, yourself in your mind, but then you also have this kind of darker self that's in your mind that kind of wants to lead you more towards negativity and, you know, maybe things that have stuck with you from when you were young. And then just it's all about just overcoming the darker side of your own mind and be able to put bad experiences behind you in order to move forward. So yeah, this has been Aaron from Betraying the Martyrs, and this is Parasite. Thank you for listening.
Right, huge thank you to Aaron Matz of Betraying the Martyrs. What a fun conversation, getting into the fire, getting into the emotions of the fire, getting into them touring again. Cannot wait to see them when they come back through the States. Hopefully they have a much much better time this time around in the States. So huge thank you to Aaron Matz for taking the time. Make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Leave a nice 5-star rating, nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you listen to the show on. Make sure you guys are subscribing to the YouTube channel. We need to get the YouTube channel up and up and running. Make sure you're listening to Talk To Me Live Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern, uncontrolledNoise.com. That is noise with a Z. Fun, interactive show. You never know who's going to show up. And so until next Thursday for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon.